And they stripped him and put on a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man, a Cyrene, named Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear the cross, his cross. And when they come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they washed him there, and set up over his head his accusation, written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" Now you see this scene. It's an awful scene when you think about it. Horrible scene, bloody scene. A man just beaten, mocked, ridiculed, spit on. Crowds walked by him and they would just hit him. Thirsty, and they gave him vinegar mixed with gall. And then they crucified him while they were gambling for his garments down at the foot of the cross. And then it says in verse 36, "And sitting down, they watched him there." Sitting down, they watched him there. That's what I want to talk about. Watched him there. Watched him there. Our Lord, from all eternity, had his heart set toward that cross. All of history culminates before the cross. We look to the cross. All history since, cross. Cross, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is the main event, the only event that God had. Everything God views is from the time His Son went to that cross and after He went to that cross. This is God's will, God's purpose. Everything culminates in that blessed cross. And our Lord from eternity set His heart to go to Calvary. You remember Simon Peter said, "No, no, Lord, this far from you. No, don't, that's not going to happen to you." When he said, "I must go up to Jerusalem. I must suffer. I must die at the hands of sinful men. I must." And all Simon Peter said, "Oh, no, 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 no. Suffer it without you. That's not going to happen." And our Lord said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You savor the things of men. You want to be saved without a cross. You want to be saved without suffering. You want to be saved without ever knowing anything about sin. You want to be saved without God being satisfied. And it ain't going to happen, Peter." And he set his heart to go to Calvary, there to finish and complete and accomplish the will of God. To save his people. To redeem his people. To pay the debt that his people owe. And here he is. Here he is, the sinless Son of God. Here he is, this immaculately holy, infinitely holy man, hanging there, nailed, crucified. The sound of the nails was probably still ringing in people's ears as he was nailed there. And here he's hanging on that cross, bloody, a crown of thorns still on his head. Beard had pieces plucked out of it where they plucked out his beard. And he's hanging there. And oh, the wrath of God is coming down on him. The wrath of God is burning on him. And that's why he says, "Father, if it be possible, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done." And there he is. He's suffering under the wrath of God. Man, he suffered at the hands of men. But it wasn't the hands of men that bothered him about his death on the cross. Because he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But oh, when he had to face God, when he had to face his Father, when he had to face the justice and the wrath and the fire of God Himself that would burn against His own Son as He hung on that cross. Can you imagine the agony of soul? It says that he cried, he wept tears that he might be heard in Hebrews 5. And oh, beloved, what does it all mean? What does it all mean? Oh, what does it mean, that cross? What does it mean, him hanging there? What does it mean that they put the crown on? What is it all going to happen here? And many, many multitudes were gathered around that. And the onlookers were a great crowd around him. And they took their place at the foot of the cross. And it says there, they watched him there. They watched him there. Can you imagine? I don't want to. I could go to an execution. I suppose I could. For certain people, certain things that they might have done. But this man, they admitted to Pilate, said it four times, there's no fault in this man. There's nothing amiss in this man. I'll scourge him and let him go. I know that there's nothing wrong with this man. He's not done anything worthy of this. But they sat and watched him. Watched him. They probably come from all over. I mean, they come from other countries. And they watched him. And they're looking at him. They're looking up at him. They're watching him. In fact, they said at times, said, let's see what he's going to say. When he said, Lord, they said, is that Elijah? Let's see if Elijah's going to come. They're watching. They're watching to see how he's going to react to this awful act. They're going to watch to see how he reacts. Because they had heard him and watched him and heard him and saw his miracles. What's this man going to do now? He saved others, but he can't save himself. As they watched him there, what did they see? What did they see when they sat and watched him there? What did they see? There's a lot of different classes of people there. A lot of different types of people there. What did they see when they sat and watched him there? It says they sat and watched him, sitting down. They walked off here and sat down on the ground. Sit down. Cross their legs. Lean back on their elbows. Got like this here on their face. And watched a man suffer. Watched a man ridiculed. Watched the blood pulled out of his hands and his feet and his side. Just sit down to watch this scene. Well, what did they see? Well, the Roman soldiers, all they saw was a justly condemned Jew who was they had to execute and had no compunction about it whatsoever. Did not feel any compunction about it. All they saw was a condemned felon. All they saw was somebody that they were told to take out and crucify, take out and mistreat and do all the things that they would do. And that's all they saw was a condemned felon. They just saw a man, he was there because he was there. He must have done something really bad for the Jews to treat him like this. Must have been really a mean man for people to cry out against him the way they're doing. That's all they saw. And you know what the Jews saw? They saw the end of somebody that claimed to be their Messiah. That came to be when they said, well, when our king comes, he's going to take care of everything. He's going to get rid of the Romans. He's going to reign. He's going to sit on his throne. And all the nations are going to bow down for us. But they never read that thy king cometh sitting meek and lowly on a colt on the foal of an ass. They never read that he would cry not and let his voice be lifted up. They never read that he said, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They never read where he said, I'm a worm and I'm no man. Have you ever read where he says, my iniquities be more than the hairs of my head? They've ever read about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to be a man, meek and lowly. They never read about him being the light of the Gentiles. And they thought all they saw was a deceiver, an imposter. One who they think betrayed their own nation. And surely, you know what he did, the worst thing he did for them? He disturbed their religion, Gary. He disturbed their religion. He tore their religious house down all the way around them. And he said they didn't have no refuge to hide anymore. When he came, he was in there changing money, selling sacrifices, and just making all kinds of money, making a mockery. And it'd be like us coming in here and being out there in the foyer and being out in front of the church, and they got all kinds of stuff to sell, and when you going in and out buying and selling, making money hand over fist. I'll give you 10 cents for that little bird. I'll give you 10 cents for that dove there so somebody needs it to offer it for a sacrifice. He's poor, and then the poor man comes along. That costs you a dollar. And our Lord Jesus went in there at him with a scourge. He went in there with the whipping them people. Went in there whipping them. And he said, he started turning over the tables. And their money was on the tables. All money laying out everywhere. Turned over the tables. Money went to flying. And they said, we can't have this. We can't have this. And then when them Pharisees would come around to him, you know, and start talking about all their religion, how good they was and all that. You know what our Lord said to him? Oh, you generation of vipers and serpents, how in the world are you going to escape the damnation of hell? Oh, you take Moses' law and you lift it way up here. And you put burdens on men's backs and men's hearts. And you require people to live certain ways. And you devour widows' houses and take their social security checks and buy your jets and ride around in your Mercedes and big long Cadillacs and limousines. And our Lord Jesus says, but you won't got nothing to do with the judgment of God, the mercy of God, and the pity of God. You're so minute about your ties. But oh boy, you don't know nothing about mercy. You don't know nothing about love. You don't know nothing about grace. And that's what they saw. They said, we got rid of him. I thought, okay, we can go back to our religion. We'll feel comfortable now. So they didn't have no place to go. And many, and they do this as today. Many see the cross as nothing more than just an idolatrous piece of superstition and magic. That's all they see the cross as. You know how I know that? Because they wear it around their necks. Put it in their ears. Hang it around their mirrors in their cars. I seen a fellow the other day buried his dog and he made him a great buried his dog. And then he built this real fine out of 4x4 stuff. Whittled it out and everything. Made him a cross about like this, about that high. For his dog! A cross for a dog. Now that's just that you can't get more superstitious than that. You can't get more pagan than that. Can you? Oh, and they wear that trinket around their neck and they feel it wards off evil. Mary, when she's a little girl, she told me, you know, she'd watch them scary movies, especially vampire movies. She got her cross to light up in the night and put it above her bed so the vampires wouldn't get her. She glowed in the dark. Oh my, this she didn't want them vampires getting her. But you know, got her one of them to glow in the night, walk in the room for a face off, the lights out, and crawl above her bed. Oh my. We laugh about it now, but that's the way it is. Well, I tell you what, You know, they wear that thing and that makes them feel so good about themselves. They have no idea of what the cross is, what it means. What it means. That'd be like somebody, a son or a daughter, a husband, a wife, getting killed in a car wreck and just mangled up. And back then you have that car put down and put down and put down, made a minute ride and wear that around your neck. The very thing that took their life, and you want to hold that and wear it around your neck? Oh, some folks see the cross as God's best effort to save sinners. Oh, God's done His best now. This is it. This is the best God. God's done His very best now. What more can He possibly do? This door has been opened for you there on the cross. Oh, they see the grief, but they don't see the glory. And there they are. Oh, listen, that's what preachers say all the time. God's done His best. Now He put His Son on the cross. Now what are you going to do about it? I know exactly what you'll do about it if God don't do something for you. You'll do just exactly what they did. You'll just sit down there and watch and twiddle your thumbs and scratch your ear. And oh, listen, they see the grief but got the glory. And then they'll say, what can be glorious about that? What can be glorious about that? And then there's a man who says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can be glorious about that? They see all that grief, they see all the suffering, they see a man that's to be pitied but not to be believed. They see a man that's to be pitied but not to be preached. They see a man that they're supposed to feel sorry for but never, never, never worship him. And there hangs a man. What's so glorious about a man hanging there, so beaten and bruised and bleeding that he looks more or less, as the scripture said, he don't even resemble a man. That looks more like a hideous monster than seeing the glory of God in him. Seeing God's glory in him. But I tell you what, there's somebody else that saw something there too. A whole other group. What do we see? What do we see when we see the cross? I see something altogether different when I see the cross than they saw. Don't you? When I see that cross, when I see Thou Lord Jesus and read these things that I just read, I see all that they did to Him, but I see also that it was the will of God, it was the purpose of God, and I see all my salvation in that man on that cross and what He did. All my salvation right there. All of it. And it was all done before I ever... Salvation was accomplished outside ourselves. It's all objective. That's why we don't look to ourselves. We always look outside ourselves. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ. After they gave Him that gall and vinegar and drank, you know what the next word out of His mind was? It is finished. Oh my. I see all our salvation. Look over in Luke chapter 2 just a minute. Look in Luke chapter 2 just a minute with me. In let's start verse 25. And I tell you, if where a man sees the cross by faith and God opens his eyes, he sees all of his salvation. All of it. Look what happened here in Luke 2:25. Now this is 30 something years before the cross. 33 years before the cross. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Who's the consolation of Israel? Christ. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. The Spirit led him into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Now listen to this. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Now listen to it. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And the cross hadn't took place yet, because he seen salvation in a person. They saw a man just beaten and bruised and mangled. But boy, when we look at it, we see salvation. We're like him. And then look what he said. And then this is this salvation that you prepared before all the face of the people. God prepared this salvation. God prepared this man. And I say, what do we see? We see all of our salvation, all of it. All of it, from Alpha to Omega. And I tell you what, you know what else we see? We see God's holiness. God's infinite, immaculately holiness. He's thrice holy. Holy as Father, Holy Son, and Holy Ghost. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God. We see His holiness. God will not do anything for any man and let down His holiness. Everything He has had is, and holiness is His nature. Holiness is His name, and He dwells in the beauty of holiness. And we see His holiness there. And I'll tell you something else we see when He's there. We see justice. Justice. Justice is something that this generation, this world doesn't know nothing about. They absolutely know nothing about it. And if they try to execute justice nowadays, now everybody goes into a riot and into a tizzy. Justice is thrown out the window. I don't know what you've got to do to get put in jail for any length of time. I don't know how much you got to do for some judge to finally say, I'm going to throw you under the jail. There's no justice from the White House down to the poorhouse. Nobody knows nothing about justice. And nothing works worse than that is people don't care. But God's justice, when He looked at His Son and He found sin, justice pulled out His sheath, said, Awake, O sword against my fellow, awake, O sword against my shepherd, and smite him. And oh, and I'll tell you what else we saw when we saw that. We saw the wrath of God come down. That's why He cried out like He did on the cross. That's why He was in such agony on the cross. Because God set Himself against His own Son. God Himself come against His own Son. You know, Doogie was such a good child. He was so good natured. And if I ever had to whip him, every once, you know what he'd do? He'd go get the belt and say, "Here, Dad." And then he'd turn around and say, "You know, here's all I'm doing." You know, he said, "Here, Dad." It's hard to whip a youngin like that. And you know, God loved His Son. And you know what our Lord Jesus Christ said to His Father? He said, "Father, smite, 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 smite." He knew exactly what He was getting into. He knew exactly what His Father was going to do to Him. I knew exactly. He said, "It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It pleased the Lord to make His soul an offering for sin." Our Lord Jesus Christ walked right into the wrath of God and justice of God and holiness of God and righteousness of God with all of His being in perfect obedience. Nothing reserved. But I tell you what else I see. Not only do I see holiness, wrath, and justice, but I also see love. Oh, what love. What love. God commended His love toward us. Oh, the love of God that gave His Son. The love of God that caused Christ to die. The love of our Savior that was willing to take our place. The love of the Holy Ghost that He'd take the things of Christ and show them unto us. And I see the mercy of God. Mercy. It was mercy. And grace. I see the grace of God. Justice and grace and wrath and mercy, truth and justice, all met together and was reconciled in that blessed man on that cross. Oh my. And I see redemption. I tell you, this is what we see. We see redemption. When he was hanging on that cross, he was paying a debt. Redeemed us with his own precious blood. And redemption means this. You pay the debt for somebody, and then they are free of that debt, rescued from that debt, released from all obligations, and now you can go free. And we're free. You know what we owe the Lord for our salvation? You know what you give Him for your salvation? But you know what we do? We love Him. We worship Him. We adore Him. We bless Him. We talk about Him. We enjoy Him. But we can't pay Him back. Can we? We can't love Him enough to pay Him for the love that He did for us. We can't worship Him enough for what He did for us. We can't talk about Him enough for what He did for us. But I'm Mark Rubio. You're going to hear the last of it. Oh, listen. And then I see justification. Oh, God said He comes to find sin on us, and He can't. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ was raised for our justification. Where's my justification that I accepted of God? I've said this to me. There He sits at the right hand of God. What's my justification that I claim to have no sin? There He sits at God's right hand. What's my justification that I'll enter into glory because of Him? There He sits at God's right hand. What's my justification that God will hear me when I pray? There He sits at God's right hand. What's the justification I believe God will never leave me, never forsake me? There He sits at God's right hand. Next time the devil accuses you, or you feel like you know you've done something and you feel just a little reserved coming in the presence of God, you say, there's my justification coming, Lord. Here I come. I'm going to come anyway. And oh, we see there the forgiveness of sins. We see the peace, the pardon, the sanctification, and the glorification. All of our salvation there on that cross. And I tell you what, as God allows us to live and allows us to see these things, there's so many, 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 many wonders of God's grace. Oh my, so many wonders of the grace of God. So many wonders of the mercy of God. There as seen in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, when you and I get to glory, the evidence of that cross will be still be in His body. You read Revelation 5, and they saw as a lamb as it had been slain. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when He went to glory, He went there as a man. He was God. He is God. But He's a man sitting there right now. He's a man. He did not leave His He took His flesh into glory with Him. He took what He had after the cross. That's what He is in glory. And when we get there, we'll recognize Him by the prints of His nails. I mean, we'll know Him. We'll just know Him like we know Him now. But that's what they sang, the song of redemption. And that we'll know we're there because of Him, but sin will never, ever bother us again. Our salvation will be so wondrous that nothing of this world will ever enter into. Everything will be made new. The only thing not new there is the scars in His body. And we'll know we're there because of Him. Because of Him. And I tell you what's the main thing you reckon we see on that cross of our Lord Jesus Christ hanging there? I tell you, first thing I think we all see is this, that when he's hanging there for me. For me. Me. For me. He's hanging there, and there he hangs. And he's hanging there for Donald L. Bell Jr. He's hanging there as my substitute. Ain't that the way you see him, as your substitute? God said, come forth and answer for your sins. Come forth and answer for your wretchedness. Come forth and answer for your guilt. Come forth and answer for your enmity. Come forth and answer for your hatred. Oh, come forth and answer for all the sins that you've ever done and ever will do. And when it was my time to come forth, the Lord Jesus Christ said, here I am. Here I am. And he did that for all of his children. Take me. Let these go their way if you want me. Take me. Take me. And oh, God accepted him in our room instead and in our place. And God was satisfied with him. And I see him, and I know you see him too, suffering the wrath of God in your stead, in my stead. God's wrath will never, ever fall on me. I've told you this before. When I realized that God was never, ever angry with me after I seen Christ, that he's not angry. I was always trying to keep on the good side of God and keep God on the good side of me. And I've done that for years. And you did too. And I just no peace in it. But when I saw, I'll never forget that day. We had an old fiery chair. Big old back chair, big old arms on it. And I remember sitting in that chair and I sat and reading. And I was reading something about Romans. And it just like a light come down. Said that, we're justified by faith. We have peace with God. Christ bore all your sins, and so the wrath of God was expended on him. And God will never, ever expend the wrath of God on him again. And I just sat there and just wondered. And then a little while I went like this. Oh, Lord, blessed be your name. Oh, blessed be your name. I ain't never, ever felt any, never entered my mind that the wrath of God would ever be on me ever again. Oh, my. And oh, I'll tell you what, and I see his glory. You know what we see him there? We see his glory in saving such awful, sinful, vile, wretched, miserable people and individuals like us. God saved the worst man that I ever knew in my life when he saved me. And when he saved me, he still saves the worst man that I know. You're looking at the worst man that I know. And God saved me. Ain't that something? I see that on the cross. I see him doing that. No wonder the apostle said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, who gave himself for me, who gave himself and loved me. Loved me and gave himself for me. And I tell you what, whenever you see that his love for you, his death for you, his sin offering for you, his sacrifice for you, then I tell you, that's I know this, that you'll never, ever. A worm, that's what I am. Just an old maggot. An old sorry maggot. And there Christ hung on that cross. He said, I'm a worm and no man. Because that's what I was. And he's so identified with us. The world sees something, and then we see something. And oh, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Keep me near the cross. Keep me looking, keep me believing, keep me trusting. Oh, John Newton got that song, I beheld one upon that tree. And it absolutely moved me not. And then he says, then he turned his languid eyes on me and seems to charge me with his death. And whenever he charges you with his death, you know what happens then? You go to him. You go to him. Do you see him? I see him. Love him. Love him. Need him. Gotta have him. Oh, our Father, the blessed, blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how gracious. Oh, God, blessed be your name. Allow us to meet here. Wonderful, wonderful gospel, blessed gospel, and the wonders of your grace, the wonders of your mercy, the wonders of your love. Oh, the wonders. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, our hearts are lifted up to him. Our souls are lifted up. Thanksgiving and praise unto him. Thank you for making us accepted in the Beloved. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for going there and letting yourself be so humiliated. Letting yourself be so humble. Letting yourself be so mistreated. And doing it so willingly, so lovingly, so caringly, so completely and perfectly. And finishing and accomplishing our salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that even now you sit there at God's right hand. And as we're worshiping here tonight and talking about you and reading your word and praying, that you sit there at the right hand of God and you see us and you hear us. And you love us and you pray for us and you preserve us and you keep us. Even now, Lord, I see you there in your glory. Oh, you in your glory. Oh, what glory you dwell in. Oh, bless your name. Oh, what glory you dwell in. Father, enable us to honor you and live to your glory. Please protect us and work your will out in our lives perfectly in every way. For Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Let's do that couple verses of that 353. I think that's it. I think that's it, 353, yes. No, it's what is it? Keep me near the cross. Near the cross. I thought it's 353. How much? 351, okay. Only missed it by two. All I say. Thank you. better than that in this world. Good night, and God bless you. See you Wednesday, Lord willing.